नमो ब्रह्मण्य देवाय गो ब्रह्मण हिताय च जगत हिताय कृष्णाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। चायतां सुदधावतां गौर मम मंदमतेरगति मत्सर्वस्वकृतं रोचा राधामदनमोहना दिव्याद्वृंदारण्यकल्पद्रुमाधा श्रीमान रत्नागर सिंहासनस्थ श्री श्री राधा शील गोविंद देहा हृस्थाल सेव्यमानो स्मरानी श्रीमान रासर सारं भी वंशी भात तथास्तता हर्षान धेनु स्वनायर गोपीर गोपीनाथ श्रिय स्तुन तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्राणमामी हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीभासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। दिस सॉन्ग जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी और गुरु महाराज हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ही वुड ऑफन डिस्क्राइब दैट दिस पर्टिकुलर कीर्तन इज लाइक ए विंडो इनटू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड। It is a beautiful song written by the great poet Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which describes the transcendental leela of Lord Sri Krishna. And how he enjoys eternally in the holy land of Brajadham with his pure-hearted associates. The Brijvasis. The qualification of the Brijvasis that make them unique among all transcendentalists is that in Vrindavan no one knows anything about anything except Krishna. In fact, no one cares to know anything about anything except Krishna. They are at a stage of life far beyond philosophy, far beyond mystic perfections, far beyond liberation. They have attained the supreme perfection, Prema Pumartha Mahan, of pure love. Therefore, under all situations of life, their constant remembrance was their beautiful friend and lover, Lord Sri Krishna. In this way, in happiness or in danger, the Brijabasis, they are teaching us by their example the perfect state of love. And how to aspire to never forget Krishna and to always remember him under all circumstances. You know, especially in the land of India, the worship of the demigods is very popular. Because in the scriptures, the Vedas, there is great instruction describing for those in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance on how they can elevate their consciousness and achieve the fulfillment of their material desires through the worship of the demigods. In Vrindavan, Gokula, when Krishna was present on this earth, Every year, Nanda Maharaj and his cowherd community would perform the puja to Lord Indra. Because you see, in Braja, it was an agricultural community. They would grow the grains, and mainly they would take care of the cows. In Vrindavan, their exclusive means of economic maintenance was their protection of the cows. The cows would provide milk. With the milk, the Brijabasis, they would prepare yogurt and ghee and many other type of preparations from milk. And they would bring these preparations and they would sell them and they would have all their funds to live very happily. Of course, when we speak of funds in those days, they did not use money, but they would barter. One person would trade what he had to another to acquire what one would need. In this way, the Brijabasis lived a life of simple living and high thinking. Simple living, high thinking is the motto and the lifestyle that gives birth to spiritual consciousness. New Vrindavan was established on this principle. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, he explained to us that Vrindavan means the life of simple living and high thinking. You simply have a little land, you have some cows, and factually, all your economic problems are solved for your whole life through. You need nothing else. From the cows, you have the bulls and the oxen. They till the fields. You grow grains. You grow grass. The cows eat the grass. They give milk. With milk, you can perform sacrifice. With milk, you have the miracle food, which is most nutritious and most conducive to spiritual consciousness. And with milk products, fruits, vegetables, and grains, one can live a very, very simple and peaceful life. And with what produce you have beyond what you need, you exchange it for whatever is needed to build your house and to provide all the essentials for the family. And with this lifestyle, because it is very simple, one's consciousness can remain without duplicity. Very honest. The cheating propensity is not nourished. And in this condition, it is very easy to remember Krishna. You know, before the invasions of foreign empires into India, India was primarily, and factually it still is, an agrarian culture. You see, if you live a simple life like this, it's natural that in the mornings everyone comes together to chant the holy names, to have the kirtan, to have the prasad, then to work hard protecting the cows, and then in the evenings everyone come together to read Bhagavatam, to read Ramayana, to have kirtan, to take some prasad, and then when you take rest at night, naturally you will be meditating on Lord Sri Krishna and his wonderful pastimes. So, Vrindavan was a place of simple living and high thinking. This type of life is dependent on the natural gifts. Just like today, we are so much dependent on electricity, We are much dependent on gasoline, kerosene, petrol, oil. Ah. And if there's a shortage of these things, the whole economy collapses. But in the simple life of the Brijabasis, they simply depended on rain. When there was sufficient rains, the grass would grow. When the grass would grow, the cows were well fed. And when the cows were well fed, all their economic problems were solved. It is described that in Vrindavan, they would take the cows from one pasture ground, and when the cows would eat all the grass there, then they would take the cows to the other pasture grounds. And this way they were constantly moving around wherever the grasses were green. And factually, Krishna instructed the Brijabasis that if the cows are satisfied, then your life is perfect. At one time, the gopis, they were thinking that there is no one more dear to Krishna than his cows. And because Govardhan Hill is giving nice green grasses to the cows, Govardhan Hill is making the cows most happy. And therefore, Govardhan Hill is most worshipable. Govardhan Hill is most dear to Lord Sri Krishna. Because more than anyone, Govardhan Hill is making his cows happy by giving nice grass. This is the simple life of Vrindavan. So every year, they would have the puja to Lord Indra. And on this one particular year, Nanda Maharaj had made very, very grand arrangements for this ritual to be performed. Many preparations of foodstuff, much ghee for sacrifice, yagga. He had many, many, many qualified Brahmins there to perform the rituals and to chant the Vedic mantras. At the time, Krishna was but 7 years old. According to the Padma Purana, it is said that great souls, they are 1.5 times their age. So sometimes it is said Krishna was 7. Factually, he was 7. But by Padma Purana standard, he was actually 11. So this little boy, Sri Krishna, he approached Nanda Maharaj. My dear father, can you tell me, what is it you are doing? So much arrangements are being made. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, this 7-year-old little child, how will he understand the intricacies of this very, very elaborate ritual? So he said, it is not very important, Krishna. Krishna said, why you are not answering my question? Do you not know that liberal and saintly persons, they have no secrets in their life? And besides that, I am your family member. There is no secrets amongst families, within the family. So, Father, I request that you tell me, what is it you are doing? And Nanda Maharaj began to explain that as cowherd men, gopas, we are dependent on the rains to make the grass grow to feed our cows. And that great Lord Indra, he is the powerful demigod that provides the rains. This is a tradition that cowherd men have been performing for generations and generations and generations. Therefore, it is very, very important that we satisfy Indra. And Krishna, he began to speak. He said, Father, the demigods are not independent. They must provide for you whatever your karma destines. If you do good work, the demigods must provide you prosperity. And if you do sinful acts, the demigods must punish you by giving scarcity. So what is the use of worshipping the demigod? Better to just do your work good. Just work hard, honestly, and Indra has to give you rain. You see, Krishna, he was preaching this philosophy for several reasons. First of all, he wanted everyone to understand that however great and powerful you are, as soon as you become proud, your life is spiritually useless. Because Indra was factually a great devotee of the Lord, he was very dear to the Lord. But due to his being the king of heaven, due to his living in the most opulent circumstances, due to him being worshipped and adored by practically all living beings, he had become very, very puffed up, very proud, and was thinking himself to be the enjoyer. So just to show mercy upon Indra, Lord Sri Krishna arranged this divine leela. Krishna also instructed Nanda Maharaj that if you worship the Supreme Lord, automatically all the demigods are satisfied. He said, besides that, Father, directly it is Govardhan Hill that is giving grass to the cows, not Indra. So we should worship Govardhan Hill. Nanda Maharaj replied, Krishna, we will worship Govardhan Hill according to your desire, but let us first worship Indra. Lord Gopal said, no, no. The arrangements are already made. Why not use them for higher purpose? We should immediately worship Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men, being completely captivated by Krishna's charming words, they approached him. Shyam Sundar, please tell us, how should we worship Govardhan Hill? He said, first of all Brahmins, all the Brijavasis, we should cook very large quantities of food, bhoga. We should cook mountains of rice and chapatis and dal and ladus and pakoras and sandesh and rasgul and halwa and gulab jamuns and paramana, sweet rice, and so many other preparations. And we should make mountains and mountains of nice prasad. And we should offer it to Govardhan Hill. And after doing this, we should take this prasad and we should distribute it first to the Brahmins, then to all the Brijavasis, men, women and children. Then we should feed huge quantities of luxurious prasad to the cows, to the goats, to the buffaloes, to the insects, to the chandalas, to the sudras, to the untouchables. To all living entities, we should have a nice feast of prasad and distribute it to all. And then everyone should decorate themselves in their best of clothes. And in procession, we should circumambulate the Govardhan Hill. So, the Brijabasis, following Lord Sri Krishna's instructions, they prepared mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad. And then with great joy, they circumambulated the Govardhan Hill. As Krishna instructed, they put the cows in the front. And everyone followed the cows. In Mother Yashoda, she had ox cart, and Krishna was on that ox cart. And the Rohini Devi, she was also on that ox cart with Balaram. And in this way, there was a very joyful festival, Govardhan Puja. And then, Lord Krishna, he told them that this Govardhan Hill is not an ordinary mountain, but this Govardhan Hill is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govardhan Hill is none different than me. And then Krishna himself expanded himself into a huge, large form of Govardhan Hill. And everyone, right before their eyes, they saw the mountainous form of Sri Krishna as Govardhan eat all of the prasad. And then, although Krishna expanded himself as Govardhan Hill, he still remained the small little 7-year-old cowherd boy. And he and all the other Brijabasis bowed down before Govardhan Hill. In this way, Lord Sri Krishna taught us that Giriraj Govardhan is none different than him himself. The great acharyas in our sampradaya of the Brahmam Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we accept that Sri Radha Kund is the direct expansion of Srimati Radharani, and Giriraj Govardhan is the direct expansion of Lord Sri Krishna. And therefore, to this day, the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill, following in the footsteps of the Brijabasis, according to the instruction of Lord Sri Krishna, is considered one of the great, great acts of devotion. And one attains very, very deep bhakti by remembering Krishna in the proper consciousness and circumambulating the Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is none different than the body of Krishna himself. Therefore, great devotees of the Lord, under the auspicious blessings of the Guru, they oftentimes take the stone from Govardhan Hill and they worship it, just as they worship the deity of Krishna. Because factually, the Govardhan Shila is the deity of Krishna. Krishna is fully manifested in each pebble of Govardhan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was once given a small Govardhan Shila, and he would wear it around his neck, and in great ecstasy, seeing it as none different than the very beautiful transcendental body of Lord Gopal, he would worship it daily with his heart and soul. And out of love for this beautiful form of Krishna, this Govardhan Shila was 24 hours a day soaked with the tears of love streaming from the lotus eyes of Lord Gaurasundara. And sometimes he would take the Govardhan Shila and put it to his head and to his eyes in great love, in the mood of Sri Radha. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan on his most famous and glorious pilgrimage, when he attained the lotus feet of Govardhan Hill, the first stone of Govardhan that he saw the beautiful lotus-eyed body of Krishna directly in that stone. And in great love, he embraced that stone and began to cry and weep uncontrollably in love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would not walk upon the Govardhan Hill. He saw that this is the deity form of Krishna. and therefore he would never put his feet upon the hill. And therefore the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will never climb upon Govardhan Hill, but rather they will stand at the lotus feet of Govardhan Hill and offer their most humble and prostrated obeisances. In Vrindavan today, Giriraj is so much worshipped, and this parikram is considered so auspicious and holy that many people from all over the world, they make a vow to circumambulate the Govardhan Hill regularly. Some perform Dandavat Parikram, always keeping it to their right side, not speaking a single word except the name of Krishna constantly, with their mind immersed in the thought of the pastimes and the names of Govinda. They offer full prostration, and beginning where that prostration ends, they perform another, and in this way they go all the way around the hill. And some, they do the Eksavat Dandavat Parikram, where they offer 108 prostrations in each place, and in this way they go around. Today Govardhan Hill is 21 kilometers around. You see, this faith is the most essential ingredient for the development of devotion. According to the Shastra, Lord Sri Krishna himself, he established by his words that Govardhan Hill is a supremely worshipable form of himself. And Krishna himself worshipped Govardhan Hill. So therefore, sometimes to our materialistic eyes, it appears like an ordinary mountain. The Shila appears like an ordinary stone. But if we want to make spiritual advancement, we cannot see through our eyes. We must see through our ears. That means we see through the instructions of Krishna and the great acharyas. And we accept those instructions on the basis of faith. Faith in the divine mercy of God's words. So the Brijavasis, they had a wonderful, joyous festival. And after eating and distributing all prasad, they all went to their respective homes, chanting the glories of Krishna with a heart full of jubilation. But in the heavens, Indra was not very jubilant. He was very angry. He called for the Samvartaka clouds. These are the devastating clouds that come at the end of the cosmic manifestation. And they drown everything. So Indra called these clouds, and in a very angry mood, he began to speak. That for generations and generations, the inhabitants of Vrindavan has been performing the Indra Puja. But due to their influence by this talkative child, Krishna, who's nothing more than an ordinary boy, they have rejected my mercy. They have neglected to worship me. Therefore, I will teach them a lesson and I will destroy Vrindavan and everything in it. Therefore, clouds, you go to Brajadham and you pour all your rains and flood, the flood of destruction across all of Vrindavan. And I will follow you with all of my thunderbolts and all of my powers on my celebrated elephant. In Vrindavan, dark clouds began to form in the sky.
and lightning and thunder began to echo in all directions. And torrents of rain began to pour from the clouds. It is said that the rain was falling like sharp arrows. It was not an ordinary rainfall. It was like millions and millions of pillars of water slashing down to the ground. And within moments, the whole land of Braja was in a deluge of water. The residents of Vrindavan were suffering great pain. They were being battered by the rain physically, and they saw all their crops, all their homes being destroyed. So all the Brijabasis, headed by the cows, with tears in their eyes, they approached Krishna. Because after all, although Krishna was their friend, their lover, and their child, in times of desperation, they knew nothing except Krishna for their shelter. My dear Gopinath, this was all your idea. You're the one that convinced us to offend Indra. Now, please, we are completely dependent on your mercy. We are suffering like anything. Please save us. Krishna wanted to show the world the pure hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. In happiness or distress, they were completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Even the greatest powers of the demigods, we have nothing to fear their wrath if we are defending on the mercy of Krishna. Bajahure mana srinanda nandana abhayat sharanaravindare. A devotee prays to his mind, please, always remember my mind, the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj. Depend on his mercy as your only object of meditation. And in this way you have nothing to fear. This is the only condition of fearlessness. This is the only condition of peace, when we learn to fully depend on the mercy of Krishna. So when the Vrindavan Vasis came to Lord Sri Krishna with hearts full of love, seeking his shelter, he said, do not fear. I will protect you. And just as a young child effortlessly lifts a small toy, he lifted the Govardhan Hill, this immense mountain, and he held it over his head with the smallest finger of his left hand. And smiling, he called upon all the residents of Vrindavan. Now, this Govardhan Hill is a suitable umbrella. Everyone come under, and you will feel no hunger, you will feel no thirst, you will feel no inconvenience. So everyone came under the Govardhan Hill. And they were all struck with wonder. How is it that our beautiful little Gopal, that he is holding up this gigantic mountain with the little finger of his left hand, and he is smiling as a little boy picks up a mushroom and holds it over his head? It is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that some of the cowherd boys due to their parental affection for Lord Sri Krishna, they could not believe that this was possible. So they all took their sticks and began to hold up the hill. And they were thinking, Krishna's not doing it, it's us, we're doing it. How could he do it? He's our baby. Krishna held the Govardhan Hill for 7 days. And after 7 days and nights, Indra realized that this talkative little boy was none other than the supreme master of all the creation. He was very much humiliated and defeated. All of his sense of prestige was totally destroyed by this divine leela of Lord Sri Krishna. So he told the Samvataka crowds that we have made a very big mistake. I have been thinking I am the master and I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. But really, it is Krishna. He is my master. I did not recognize him. Just see my illusion. Therefore, clouds, go away. And then the sky became clear and the sun began to shine. And then Krishna told the inhabitants of Vrindavan, now the rains are gone. Now the land is dry. You go back to your homes, have nothing to fear. So all the residents of Vrindavan, with their hearts heavily laden with love for Lord Sri Krishna, singing his wonderful pastimes, they all returned to their respective homes. And then Krishna placed Govardhan Hill just as it was before. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they were struck with wonder. They all approached Nanda Maharaj. Who is this boy, Krishna? How is it that at one side there's the almighty Govardhan Hill, and on the other side this tender, beautiful limbed child, and how he lifted it effortlessly, like a toy? We believe that your boy Krishna, he is not like the rest of us. When the mighty demon Putana appeared, he was an infant baby. He did not even have the development of his body to see properly. And this mighty 8-mile-long Rakshasi, he killed her by sucking the life from her body. And when he was only 3 months old, he was under Sankatasura, the great demon who appeared as a cart. A big, stalwart, well-constructed wooden cart. And simply by touching it with his lotus feet, the entire cart collapsed into millions of pieces and Sankatasura, the demon, was killed. And on his first birthday celebration, the mighty Asura, Trinavarta, came as a whirlwind and was causing the destruction of all the land. And he captured your child, Nanda Maharaj, and he brought him up into the sky. And this little baby, holding onto his neck, assumed the weight of a huge mountain and caused Trinavarta to collapse to the ground and die. And when they were drinking water in the Jamuna, another great demon of the name Bakasura, he came in the form of a large bird, a duck, and he swallowed Krishna. But by the radiance of his body, it was so hot the demon had to spit him out. And then the demon tried to stab him with his sharpened beak. But your child effortlessly took this gigantic mountain-like demon's beak and pulled it apart, bifurcated him, and the demon laid on the ground, a bloody mess, dead. And he, along with Balaram, they entered into the Taliban forest. And the demon, Dhenukasura, with all of his cohorts, they attacked Krishna and Balaram in the form of gigantic asses. And Krishna and Balaram, like playing with monkeys, they began to whirl around these mighty demons, throwing them into the trees and ending their lives. Similarly, Pralambasura, the greatest, the most powerful of all demons, was easily killed by Krishna and Balaram. And at one time, Nanda Maharaj, there was an all-devouring forest fire that surrounded all of us. Flames were reaching the clouds on all four sides around us. We were helpless, about to be consumed by fire. And we turned to your son Krishna, and he opened his mouth, and right before all of our eyes, all the flames went into his mouth, and he extinguished the forest fire by devouring it. And another time, the cows and the cowherd boys, they were drinking the water from Jamuna, a beautiful little lake near Jamuna. And the lake was so filled with poison that they immediately died. And your child, Shyam Sundar, Nanda Gopal, simply by looking at them, he brought them back to life. And then he jumped in that water. And the multi-headed Asura Kaliya, more ferocious than death personified, attacked Krishna with his thousands of hoods, with flames and poison gushing from each mouth. He was intent on killing your son. And Gopal, like a dancing actor, he began to dance with a smile on his face from head to head. And in this way, he utterly defeated the Kaliya demon who surrendered to him and became his devotee. Nanda Maharaj, your child is not an ordinary child. And we cannot forget him for a second. Nobody in Vrindavan can forget him for even a moment. 24 hours a day, our minds, our hearts, our senses are constantly immersed in remembrance of Krishna. We love him more than our own wives, more than our own children, more than our own lives. Why? We cannot understand this. What kind of great personality is he? Even when we want to forget him, it is impossible. And Nanda Maharaj began to speak. Yes, what you are saying is true. I will reveal to you confidentially a secret. When Krishna and Balaram had just been born, in our cowshed, we invited Gargacharya to perform name-giving ceremony. And he told us that these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, they are not ordinary children. That Krishna, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the supreme form of Vishnu. In the Satya Yuga, he appeared in a beautiful white color. In the Treta Yuga, he appeared in red color. Now in the Dwarapa Yuga, he is appearing in this beautiful blackish color complexion. And in Kali Yuga, he would appear in a beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. that your son, Nanda Maharaj, Garga Muni, narrated. He is the supreme creator of all existence, and he is the supreme shelter of all living entities. And whatever happens in Vrindavan, you should know that Krishna will be there to protect you. When the Brijavasis heard these words, they were struck with wonder. They all began to celebrate the holy names of Krishna. And in great love, they all returned to their respective homes. At that time, Lord Indra with great embarrassment, very shy and timid, he approached Lord Krishna. He was a mighty demigod. He fell down and offered his prostrated obeisances and his bejeweled crown, the crown of the King of Heaven, touched the beautiful lotus feet of child Krishna. And with tears in his eyes, he began to pray, "My dear Lord, those who are endowed with great wealth, those who are endowed with influence and power, those who have attained opulences in life, they have a very strong tendency to become proud, to think that they are the controllers, they are the enjoyers, and in their pride, the tendency for them is to commit offenses to great souls and to God. And I am one of such foolish persons. In fact, Krishna, being the King of Heaven, I have lost all my intelligence due to the infatuation of all of my riches." And all the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, they were all worshipping him. At that time, his spiritual master, Brihaspati, came into the assembly, and Indra, thinking himself so worshipable, did not show any respect to his guru. And due to that offense, Indra lost all of his wealth. He lost everything. So similarly, just as such great souls as Indra sometimes offend great souls, they even minimize the greatness and glory of God Himself. So Indra, he began to explain, "Krishna, although I am the worshipable King of Heaven, in reality I am fool number one. I am your eternal servant. Out of your mercy, you chastised me and crushed my false ego. That is your great love. That is your great care for your devotees. Consider me your eternal servant, Lord, and deal with me in any way you please. I surrender to you." And then Lord Sri Krishna began to speak. "Yes, Indra, I orchestrated this whole Leela just to purify you from your false pride. You see, the Lord cannot tolerate pride in his devotee." At that time, the Surabhi cow came before Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. "Govinda, you are the giver of pleasure to the cows, the land, and the senses. And just as you always promised to give protection to your devotees, how you have protected us. You are our life and soul." And then the Surabhi cow performed an abhishek and bathed Krishna with the unlimited supply of milk coming from her. And then Indra, he also
performed the worship of Lord Sri Krishna. The celestial Ganges water was flowing through the trunk of his elephant, Airavata, to bathe the Lord. In this way, there was a great glorious ceremony to worship the Lord on this most auspicious occasion of Govardhan Puja. And then Indra, taking the blessings of the Lord, returned to his eternal abode. From this transcendental pastime, there are many, many great and significant instructions that are essential for us to understand to properly advance in devotional service. Most of all, we should know that Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna said, my devotee I will always protect. A devotee has nothing to fear as long as he is always remembering the Lord. The perfection of life is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. Eternally, the jiva is depending completely on the mercy of God. To realize how 24 hours a day we are absolutely depending on Krishna's mercy is knowledge, true knowledge. So let us cultivate this sentiment deeper and deeper and deeper in our heart. Do not depend on anyone or anything else except Krishna and those great souls who are giving Krishna to us. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, that I am the friend of all living beings. In fact, Krishna is our only true friend. A friend is one who helps you when you are in need. And the time of greatest need is the time of death. At that time, the military, they will not be there to help us. All the politicians with their grand promises, they will not be there to help us. Our loved ones, our family members, our friends, they will not be there to help us. All of our money, all of our influence, all of our prestige will give us no benefit. At the time of death, only Krishna can save us. If we remember Krishna, antakali chamame vasmaran maktva kalevaram, at the time of death, we attain Krishna. We are liberated from birth and death for the rest of eternity. So the fact that we must have conviction in is that Krishna is our only true friend. And those persons, whoever they may be, that help us remember Krishna, that help us to love Krishna, that engage us in the service of Krishna, they also are our true and best friends because they are bringing us to the lotus feet of our supreme eternal friend. Therefore, the greatest act of charity, the greatest act of love, is to distribute the name of Krishna, because Krishna is none different than his name. He is eternally manifesting himself with all of his prowess in his name. When we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we are in the divine presence of the Lord. When we chant in the spirit of humility, crying out the name of Krishna, just as the Brijabasis called out the name of Krishna when the rains fell. In the same way, Krishna, He will lift the Govardhan Hill over our heads. He will protect us from all the powers of this illusory energy. Therefore, this particular form of Sri Krishna is Giridhari, is most important to take shelter of. Because it is in this form of Giridhari that He protects and gives shelter to His devotees. Sometimes we sing the song, Aja O Giridhari. Please come, Krishna O Giridhari. I am in great need. Unless you lift the umbrella of the mercy of Govardhan Hill over my head, I am simply a puppet in the hands of Maya. The torrents of rain of this material energy are constantly filling my heart with lust, envy, anger, greed, and pride and illusion. And the threefold miseries, adiatmaka, adibhautika, and adidaivaka, miseries caused by my own body and mind, by other living beings, and by natural disturbances, they are constantly harassing me. Therefore, O Giriraj, let me take shelter under the Govardhan Hill of your mercy. Let me take shelter of your holy name. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna appears in His holy names to give shelter, to give relief, to give love. So let us take advantage of this human birth by sincerely calling out the name of Krishna as the most essential and important part of our life. And let us be a real friend by distributing the holy name to the world. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki. Sri Gopalnath Ji Ki. Sri Govardhan Puja Ki. So before honoring Prasad, the remnants of the offering to Sri Giriraj, we should follow the instructions of Lord Sri Krishna and circumambulate the Govardhan Hill. This form of Srinathji is especially worshipable on this day because He is in His most beautiful roop or form of lifting Govardhan Hill. So as we are circumambulating Govardhan Hill and singing the glories of the Lord with a very sincere heart, we should be striving to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and give our heart to Lord Gopal with full trust and faith that He is our real